Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
About 15 minutes out, Griff will be with us. Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. That's right. About 15 minutes. Cosby Cattleman, welcome in.
What's your moisture, King?
For sure.
Didn't really care about what Griff's got today because I got some stuff I want to throw at you. Wanted to revisit the Kiffin meltdown yesterday and then ask you something about a topic that comes up a lot on your show that you're an expert on, Twitter.
Have you donated any money to his fine yet? We've had people doing this.
Yeah, let's all get six pennies over there, right? Go find me.
Yep.
I'm sure somebody will figure out a way to make some good hay out of that. But, Bill, I guess by now you've seen many replays of it and all the angles and everything.
I have seen as much. Yes, I have.
Okay. Two things I noticed. Sean Shivers, I think the guy's name for Auburn, that touched the ball, and yes, he touched the ball. If you notice, he bluffs the Zebras. If you replay it again and just watch the Auburn player, he's like, damn, I touched this ball. And he goes over, starts, you know, giving like the X sign with his hands, and he bluffed the Zebra. The Zebra bought into Shivers making the call on the play. Did you notice that?
I'll have to go back and look at that.
Look, forget the touching. When he turns, and he does turn, he knows what he did. He goes to the Zebra and makes the call for the Zebra, and the Zebra goes along with it.
Smart man.
Go back and play it again.
I will.
And also, Bill, have you heard the SEC audio? Have you heard Jordan Rogers' comments yet, the full comments?
I was watching it in real time. Yeah, I was listening to him in real time. He blasted
it. Okay, so you heard his comments.
Yes.
Well, there was complete disbelief that they didn't review it. But if you go back and look at it, when they finally show the replay that shows him touching the ball, he's like one of those cartoon characters. Oh, he touched the ball. Oh. I'm telling you what, Bill, I think the guy was worried for his job. I think the guy was worried if he said any more, they're going to fire him. I've heard $5,000 a game for those guys. That's pretty good money over the course of a season.
Oh, I'm sure they get paid well. I don't know what it is, but that wouldn't surprise me.
They're all, you know, they're good, you know, wardrobe, good-looking clothes on and everything. It's a lot of money to sit there and call a football game. They'd probably be watching it on the couch if they weren't calling it.
Well, I mean,
like what the hell's Tebow ever done? His baseball career blew up, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but he's Tim Tebow draws eyeballs.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, what the hell, Tim Tebow? He's just an ex-jock right now. Yeah, I mean, Jordan Rogers, a lot of these guys went on and played NFL football. I know Tebow did for a little bit, but I mean, that's great work for Tebow. $5,000 a football game. He's getting paid $5,000 to call a Florida game. Talk about great work.
I don't think Tebow does games. I think he does studio stuff, and he does pregame.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I've ever heard him call a game, although I don't think I have, but I would say he's probably getting paid like everybody else because he's one of the stars of the deal for him.
I'd say he's getting paid better than that.
Yeah, probably right. All right, let's get on to Twitter here. We've got a statement before Griff. This isn't political, but I'm going to see if you agree with me on this. I don't think there's any chance in hell Donald Trump would be president without Twitter. Do you agree with me on that?
Well, I mean, it's his ability to broadcast.
Yeah, in 2000, I mean, when did Twitter start? 2000, it's been around about a decade now.
08, somewhere in there, somewhere.
Okay, but yeah. You know, Donald Trump went right over the mainstream media and talked directly to the audience. He went right over the top. And that's what Kiffin does with his Twitter account. And I know, like with Trump, he's got, like, I guess, a real president account, President of the United States Twitter account, and then he has his personal account, right, Real Donald Trump. Why can't Kiffin get, say, like an official Ole Miss football head coach account, and then you got your personal account? Are you uncomfortable? This is the second time he's been fined for something he's put out on Twitter. Are you uncomfortable with somebody getting fined for something they put out on Twitter? What if somebody fines you $25,000 for something you tweeted?
Well, every league has that same rule, though. It's not like it's only the SEC.
Well, it's my understanding he got fined for a retweet. He didn't even – he just tweeted something on down the stream.
That's right. He did.
Bill, that sounds to me like just a Marxist country. That's not free speech. You can't be finding people $25,000 for something they retweet.
I don't necessarily like it either. But that is a consistent rule about officiating protocol, meaning commenting on it. Every league, heck, the NFL too, every league's got a rule like that somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Bill, just looking at Kiffin, everything he did, he said all the right things in his post-game press conference and everything. And I believe I was looking at his Twitter feed this morning. I'm not on Twitter, but you can look at feeds, I guess, if you don't control them or whatever. But he retweeted – there's an article, I think, from – I forget where it is. You can look at his feed. But he retweets a newspaper article saying the same thing about how Ole Miss got hosed. What's the difference between – I think he retweeted – the tweet he got in trouble with is retweeting something that I think came from SEC Mike. I don't know if you know who that is. That's one of these online days. What's the difference between retweeting something like that and retweeting something from, say, the Ole Miss newspaper saying the same damn thing? You can't be – you're going to back up, tweet, you know, finding somebody $25,000 for a retweet?
Well, I mean, like I said –
That happened to him at FAU once too, didn't it?
Did
they find him down there at FAU? That's the second time he's been fined for something on Twitter. Hell, most of these football coaches over 55 don't even know what Twitter is.
Right.
I mean, I just think that's part of the, you know, the Kiffin uses Twitter to his advantage, you know, come to the SIP and all that stuff. Did you see he had that on his face mask? Come to the SIP.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag come to the SIP.
Mm-hmm.
But, Ben, I'll tell you, you know, we've talked about it many times. People lose jobs over Twitter. How many people have lost jobs or gotten in big trouble over Twitter? Thousands.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it has happened, yes.
These media types, you'll see some athlete, they'll go back 5-6 years and find something they don't like in somebody's Twitter feed, 5-6 years old. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get in trouble on Twitter. But I think we're starting to get into a free speech situation. You going to tell me Lane Kiffin doesn't have the right to tweet whatever the hell he wants to on his private Twitter account?
Well, but that's not – I mean, Kiffin's the one that's in the news now, but he's not the only one held to that.
I've never heard of any – have you heard of any other coach ever getting fined by something on Twitter? It's happened to him twice.
Well, I don't know of anybody that's – I mean, Nick Saban's not going to comment in public about anything like
that. What if Lane Kiffin's standing on the side of this on the sidewalk talking into his cell phone and says, you know what, real loudly on the sidewalk, you know that Greg Sankey, he's a sorry SOB. They're going to find him $25,000 for that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think we've crossed into censoring free speech. We see all this big tech, and Twitter is big tech. Is Sankey big tech too? Is the SEC now big tech?
I guess so.
Well, I think it sucks, Bill. Hang in there.
All right. See you. Again, I don't want to be too repetitive. I don't necessarily like it either, but that is a consistent rule. It's not just for Lane Kiffin. Every league, college or pro, has a rule that has specific language that you're not allowed to cross when it comes to talking about officiating. They don't want coaches after games talking about officiating. Now, they do sometimes. I mean, it happens. Guys get upset, right? It happens. And I've always thought, let's just go here briefly. I've always thought it would be pretty cool is if in the post game you had officials who were also at a press conference, their own, where they could answer questions. Now, is that day ever going to come? No, not in the mainstream sports. Yeah, that's a dream. I think it would be very entertaining. But that day's not coming. I don't see that happening. They want to protect them. You got to remember, in college ball, it used to be, and they changed this probably 15, 20 years ago, that when you're calling out, now this is college ball now, and there's a penalty. It used to be where they did not call the number of the player, identify the number. They just say offsides or illegal procedure. But they wouldn't say, for example, number 72 or number 15 or whatever. The college game, they said, well, that's identifying the player. That's unfair. That used to be the rule. Now, I don't remember the year that changed. If somebody wants to try and look that up, Jeff, to somebody, that's fine. But it was about 15, 20 years ago. Now they do, obviously. When there's a penalty, they tell you who it was. It's not hurting the player. I think the player's going to fall down and cry over this because you hurt his feelings. But, the officiating rule about protocol, about what you were able to say post-game, has been in place a long time. Again, not that we necessarily like it, but this is not just – now, Lane's the one getting hit here, yes, he's right. But it's not for Lane Kiffin only. No. I think they're pretty consistent, relatively consistent. Jason says, Bill – Pruitt needs to bring back Chavy Wavy to coach the D-line. Media would approve of this. Oh, the East Tennessee media. They had him on one of the shows the other day. He's back in Knoxville, and he was helping out at a junior high. Third and Chavy Wavy. And I think he said, now these were tweets, that he'd like to coach another, like, 5 years or something. Johnny Chavis, that's right. Yeah, on the station's Twitter feed, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio, says, and let me pull this up. We got to get Griff here in a second, but I'm trying to pull this up. This is 6 years ago, but still. Baylor Associate AD Heath Nielsen was fined $1,000 after taking to Twitter to vent his frustration, over officiating in the Bears' loss to West Virginia. The team was flagged for a school conference record 215 yards. Now, that was back in 14. But the point is, these things happen. They may not happen every day, but they do happen. Griff is next in line. We'll get to him when we come back. Omni, Nashville, Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still very busy out here in certain sections of town as they clear that wreck 440 westbound at Murphy Road. Also trying to clear up this earlier crash as you come in from Jolton on 24 eastbound near Briley Parkway. That should be out of there hopefully in just a few more minutes as they wrap up the paperwork on that particular crash. Yes, that slowed it down pretty good coming in from Jolton this morning. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com. The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Patchy drizzle, high 63. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 54. Showers tomorrow, high 68. Heavy rain tomorrow night, low 64. Thursday showers, high 74. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network for Nashville Sports Radio, on WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Mike Griffith with us, Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. Georgia did not play this past Saturday, but they go and they take on UK, Kentucky on this following Saturday. Griff, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
All right, the obligatory slash perfunctory quarterback question. What's the latest?
The latest is there's no latest. I mean, Kirby keeps playing it close to the vest, and, you know, it's clouded. It doesn't make sense, right? I mean, Kirby Smart's a good coach. He plays the best guys, but this is one that's a head-scratcher. Doesn't seem to be in a hurry to get JT Daniels on the field, or is he? I mean, we really don't know. I mean, Stetson Bennett was plucked out of anonymity and suddenly became the starter overnight sensation. Could Kirby pull JT Daniels out of the blue and put him in the Kentucky game? Sure. Is it possible we may not see JT Daniels play this season? Sure. You know, the head coach here doesn't offer many answers.
Good point. I figured that's probably the answer, but I wanted to make sure that that is what you were hearing. Is there any news out of camp that's noteworthy before we move on?
I don't know. I mean, Kenny McIntosh is a pretty talented running back. He hurt his knee running back kicks in the last game. I always wonder why coaches do that myself. But so we don't really know where he's at right now as far as his comeback. I think you'll see more Kendall Milton, although they trotted Zamir White out again yesterday in front of the media. So, again, it's almost a tug-of-war. Kirby almost seems to be stubborn in some respects, loves his defense, and, you know, seems determined to try and win with it.
You mentioned the kick return item. Jaylen Waddle done, probably the best playmaker in college football with his hands on the ball, and he's out. Did you have a problem with that in the Alabama game, the opening play of the game?
Yeah, I think it probably cost Alabama a national championship, you know, just like Tua being in the game up 35-7 last year over Mississippi State on a bad ankle. I mean, the guy wasn't himself, right? Remember last year when Tua wasn't himself, he wasn't 100% from the ankle, and they're beating Mississippi State 35-7, and he's still back there running around throwing the ball? I just, at some point, I think roster management matters. And I'm not saying Nick Saban's not a good coach. I mean, I made that criticism on my timeline last night on Twitter. And Alabama fans, you know, oh, my gosh, Nick Saban's the great. Well, he is the greatest, but he made a mistake. Because when you've got an irreplaceable player, you don't put him back there. That's why when you turn on the NFL games, you don't see Ezekiel Elliott running back kicks. He'd probably be a pretty good one, Bill. I bet you Ezekiel Elliott would be a pretty – I bet you Najee Harris would be a good kick returner. Saban going to put him back there? Listen, they've got 85 guys on scholarship there. The NFL has a 53-man roster, and you do not see their marquee players back there returning kicks. Why? because of their value to the team, because of their value. In college, you've got 20 guys dying for an opportunity. You're telling me when you're a four. Now, look, when you're playing in a championship game or even a rivalry game, and I've seen this before with other great coaches, they'll put a guy, like I remember Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State. When they were playing in a really big game, Le'Veon Bell might go deep. You go, oh, wow. You know, they're putting Bell back there. It's a big one, right? It's a calculated chance. And I don't think you do it against a four-touchdown underdog any more than I think Tua should have been out there on a bad ankle with a 35-7 lead. I think Alabama fans would have to admit that if Tua stays healthy in 2019, they probably make the college football playoff. Not saying they beat LSU, but they probably make the college football playoff, all right? So to me, it's roster management. And when it comes to college coaches, Nick Saban is great. But he didn't do so good in the NFL. And maybe this is a reason why. To me, I don't like it. I don't like seeing marquee guys back. I think there's a value. I think there's a level of common sense. I think these coaches now are out of control, though. They put the accelerator down, and they want to score as many points and use these kids up as much as they possibly can. And instead of – I'd be managing a team for a championship myself, right? Hindsight's 20/20. I don't know. Maybe Ohio State will put Justin Fields back there turning kicks. He's a pretty good runner. You know, it's just the logic and people, well, he could have got hurt, you know. Yeah, he could have got hurt walking out the door. I get it, right? You can't put the guys in plastic bubble wrap. But to me, if I got Jaylen Waddle and he's the most dynamic playmate, and he is, I'm not putting him back there on kick returns. I'm saying no. There's plenty of time for that in your career. We'll play at receiver. We can find somebody else to return kicks. It's a very dangerous role on a football team, returning kicks.
Were you surprised that the Alabama-Tennessee game is still quite one-sided?
This year, no. Alabama's one-sided with most teams they play. It's just bad luck for Tennessee that they got to play them every year. It really is. I'll tell you, the SEC could do everybody a favor if they move Auburn to the East Division and move Missouri to the West where they belong. I really don't understand that. I think Greg Sankey is one of the smartest people I've ever run across. I truly do. I think he's one of the best decision makers. But the idea that you still have Auburn in the West and Missouri in the East is just crazy to me. Look where they're located. This is stupid. I mean, come on. You know, the whole thing about rivalry games, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, I mean, come on, that ship sailed, right? All it's done is cost Tennessee. It's probably cost them two or three trips to the SEC championship game because Saban's had a dynasty. He has. And I covered Alabama when the rivalry flipped. I was there when Peyton beat Alabama for the first time and flipped that rivalry in the 90s. I saw it. I still remember the Tennessee players standing on the benches singing, "We own Alabama." I remember it well. They owned Alabama. Fulmer made that game count. He put a priority on it. His guys were ready. They took pride in it. I don't see a whole lot of that right now. I see a lot of finger pointing up there. It's not a good sight. It's not a good scene. Jeremy's got a challenge on his hands. The fan base is tearing him apart. Everybody's Facebook page wants to fire somebody. Every fan takes it upon themselves to criticize coaches and players and personally attack them. I mean, the personal attacks are disgusting, and the cowards don't even use their real name. And then they take pride in it, and you got people in Nashville writing stories about how great Val Twitter is. Oh, yeah, that's really great that you got a bunch of anonymous people attacking kids. Great job. That's part of the problem, is the social, the culture. It needs to change. Take pride in your players and your program. Look, Jaren Guyatano has spilled more blood and tears and sweat probably than anybody that's played there. He's been through coaching changes, offensive coordinator changes. Give this kid a damn break. It's sad. I don't even know why he's still there. It's unbelievable. I've never seen a kid take more abuse on social media than Jared Guyatano, and all he's doing is his best.
You covered the Big Ten, Michigan State, recently. You lived up there. You went to school up there. Wisconsin now has three quarterbacks out, at least at the moment, two of them positive for COVID-19. They may get a false positive back. They're retesting there. But as of right now, that's the story, and they're not with them. The starter, Jack Cohn's out with a foot. So they're down to a fourth-team quarterback. Want to get your thoughts on that. And the 21-day protocol, Griff, that they've got.
Yeah, yeah, it's sad. It's terrible. You know, it's because Wisconsin looks real good, right? And the Big Ten, you know, rigged up their schedule so Wisconsin and Ohio State don't have to play. How about that? How about that, huh? It's sad because, you know, you get these opportunity seasons. You know, Wisconsin's not like Ohio State. They're not going to be a perennial great team. They're usually pretty good. But it's really unfortunate, and it's more a sign of the times than it has anything to do with college football. You know, you look at the COVID numbers and the way it's sweeping through the Midwest, and, you know, it's scary. You know, stuff's not going away, you know, and you got to keep your guard up. Like I said, it's more systemic of the COVID issue than it is college football. But with the abbreviated season that the Big Ten has, they really don't have any open weeks to build in bye weeks. It certainly puts the Badgers in a tough spot.
What did you think about Michigan's performance Saturday night?
You know, the first week I try not to overreact too much because I don't know how good Minnesota really is. Obviously, they didn't scheme them too well. I'll tell you, the Michigan quarterback looked pretty good. That's as good as Michigan's looked in a long time. If Minnesota is legit top 25, then maybe Michigan has a chance against Ohio State this year. I was impressed with Michigan as I was unimpressed with Michigan State. What a pathetic performance. Seven turnovers. You know, Michigan State is really in dire straits, really made a bad hire. I like Mel Tucker, but he ain't worth $5.5 million. That was a panic hire. That program appears to be in disarray. Their recruiting is off the rails. They've made one mistake after another. It's another example. I'll tell you what it is, and Tennessee fans can certainly relate. When you've got a bad administration, it trickles down. I mean, that cost Tennessee for 10 years. Joe DiPietro and Jimmy Cheek, those guys were awful administrators when it came to athletics, awful. And it cost them. Made one bad decision after another. And I'm seeing it at Michigan State now. You know, when Luana Simon and Mark Hollis and the whole Nassar thing hit the wall and they had zero answers and they tried to scapegoat Curtis Blackwell, you know, the director of recruiting. You know, it was one embarrassment, one bad thing, one blow to the culture, and now their recruiting is off the rails. They've lost their pipeline to Detroit, and they've got an awful football program. And they probably won't be back for 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. It takes time to get back. When you go on probation or when you have a serious setback with a bad coach, it's hard to get that momentum back. And I don't see Michigan State coming back for a while.
Griff, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Appreciate it, Bill.
There you go. Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation. Good stuff from Griff there. We'll get the bottom of the hour break. Coming right back. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's moving a lot better here through Hermitage, Donaldson on 40 going westbound where we had that earlier wreck and even that earlier car fire at Fessler's. Traffic's cleared out through there right now. 5600 block of Clarksville Pike and Jolton. There's been a wreck involving injuries. A fire department's been dispatched to that location. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike. It's so worth that short drive. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Job at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissants, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m. And make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. College sports. Bill King knows a few things.
Hey, have you downloaded the FanDuel Sportsbook app like I have? Get it done, folks. In Tennessee, sports betting almost here, just around the corner. And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find and bet you're looking for so you can just lock it in. Unlike other sports books, once you win, FanBook gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register. Use the promo code BKING, B-K-I-N-G, so they know where you were sent. They know who it came from. It's a good idea. So do that. BKING, B-K-I-N-G. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's the promo code BKING to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. And look, if you're like me, then you need an easy app to use. And this is the one. I found it easy to use, easy to navigate. I've really enjoyed it. You must be 21, though, present in the state of Tennessee as well. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789. FanDuel, y'all. Check it out. State of Tennessee. We think we're big time around here, man. Gambling, legally, everything. We are big time. So you don't have to go offshore anymore like many do. No need for that at all. None at all. Josh says, Bill, tell Griff I'll trade him Fields for JT Daniels. No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. Don't even. Major Moves, formerly a West Virginia fan, says, preach it, Griff. I agree 100%. There's a reason they're called specialist. That should be their specialty, not their part-time gig. Yeah, I mean, but look, Nick's won tons of natties, and he's also probably stubborn. He's stubborn because his way usually wins, right? Yeah, he's pretty good. Nick has his way of doing things, his protocol, and the outcome is usually spot on. RJ checking in. Bill, Tebow might not have had much of an NFL career, but I'm pretty sure he had a much better college career than the Cosby Cattleman. Hell, Tebow had a better college career than Kiffin has had a coaching career. Well, yeah, look, I've always liked Tebow. Yeah, I've always liked Tebow. I'm good there. Jason, Bill, now we know why Saban wasn't successful in the NFL. He was putting his playmakers back to return kicks. Thanks, Griff. Yeah, I mean, that's something Waddle has done for so long, too, though. That's one of his, trademarks. Just so happened he got injured doing it. I've seen some crazy things. One year, it's a Tennessee spring game, and we're talking about, I think this was in the late 80s. Mid-late 80s. But Tennessee, during that stretch, they signed two quarterbacks out of Tallahassee, Florida. That's right, Leon High School. Tony Robinson, who turned out to be sensational until he blew his knee and then got busted for a bunch of drugs. Tony Robinson, and then a quarterback by the name of Moses Collins. Tallahassee Leon. One year in a spring game, Tennessee had quarterback, and he wasn't the starter, but nonetheless, Moses Collins deep for a kickoff in a spring game. That's right. Broke his leg on the play. So I've seen worse. Now, again, Moses Collins was not Jaylen Waddle. But nonetheless, he was a quarterback on the roster. Broke his leg on the kickoff. Spring game, y'all. There is nothing on the planet Earth more irrelevant than a spring game. So I've seen some wild stuff. Yeah, Cut will tell you that story. Cut to this day will look back and say that was dumb. Cut was there at the time. Yeah, he was. Cut was the. I think this was Johnny Major. Fulmer wasn't even the coach. No. Fulmer wasn't the coach until full-time 93, part-time 92. He wasn't even the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator at the time, who specialized in the offensive line. Allen in Tampa. What's up, Allen? You there, Allen? I hear you.
Yeah, you hear me?
I got you now. Yep, got you.
Yeah. Yeah, good, man. We're working up Tallahassee this week.
Uh-oh. So, how close are you to the school?
Oh, we're out by the interstate at the Chevron station. Probably 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know the area. You're good.
Oh, yeah. I've been coming here for years. I tell you something, I want some of what Gator Wolverine Dan's smoking. One game, and this guy's going off the deep end.
He's pretty giddy, isn't he, after one game?
I'm telling you, man, that sideshow Harbaugh clown, I mean, I never bought into him, but I guess, you know, hey, if I was a Michigan fan, maybe I'd feel the same way because my team can't stop running water.
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, Michigan has pretty much for a while now disappointed that group, that fan base. So, yeah, one game, but at least they look good in that one game. They're holding on to it.
There you go. We were in Gatlinburg last week. We're walking down the street, and Tracy goes, "You smell that?" I said, "What is it?" Some dude right behind us smoking a joint on the sidewalk walking down the street.
I guess I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
They got the Green Doctor over there, the Green Stores. We went out to the championship game in the Rose Bowl. We went down on Venice Beach. And every third store is the Green Doctor. And you go in there and you go, oh, I got a headache. You buy a prescription card for $35. You go in the back and you buy some of that crap and you smoke it. And now all the stone heads are sitting on the grass over there begging for money. As soon as somebody gives them a couple of bucks, they go get them some more grass.
So you have to buy – you have to first buy a prescription.
Right. You get a card. You get a marijuana card.
Right.
And then you're golden. You go in there and get what you want.
And it's not hard to get.
No, not out there. We passed a farm just driving around one day.
Yeah.
Had a 12-foot fence with razor wire on top of the fence. She goes, what is that? I said, it's a marijuana farm. I want to keep everybody out.
Yeah, it's a good idea because there'd be people in there all the time if you didn't.
No kidding, man. Pack it on their back out there. Well, at least this week we won't lose because we're off this week. So maybe they can figure out how to stop somebody next week.
I hear you, man. All right. Alan, be safe out there,
right,
sir.
Hey, man, have a good day, Bill. Take care, buddy.
Appreciate it. Perry Mason from the Orange Groves of America. Bill, I respect Cosby. He is a Tennessee hater. If Tebow had beat your team that many times, I may feel the same way. John in L.A. Bill, Lou Holtz has no problem allowing Rocket and Tim Brown returning punts and kicks. I recall. 614 Rob. Bill, Griff is on fire. Totally agree with his comments about so-called fans abusing players on social media. Tennessee fans seem especially bad, but this kind of disgusting behavior goes on in every fan base. Jim and Jupiter. Bill, imagine if Peter Warwick didn't play special teams. I like my playmakers making plays on the special teams. Injuries happen. Yeah, there seems to be – there's compelling arguments both ways here. I don't have a problem much with Waddle. That's what he's been doing. I mean, that's not new. Yeah, he got injured. He did. And that's sad. I best playmaker, in my opinion, in college football is now done. We won't see him again until it's on Sunday. And you know me. I'm not a big Sunday guy. I'm a Saturday guy. I'm a Friday night Saturday guy when it comes to football. That's just me. So it's sad. I don't care what team it's for. When you have a player like that and he's no longer going to be playing for you because of an injury, that's upsetting. I don't like it. Now, this Slade Bolden kid's really good. He's not Waddle, but he's good. Number 18 now. We'll ask Blake about him. Steven was talking about it earlier. We'll ask Blake about him tomorrow. We'll ask Landry about him, too. But, yeah, he's a Northern Louisiana guy and very accomplished, very highly recruited. And only reason you don't see him much is because of all the receivers they've had. Nobody's had a plethora, an abundance of receivers the level that Alabama's had. I'm talking about numbers now. Just crazy numbers at the same time. It's been amazing. One more break. We'll take it right here. Coming right back. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's moving a lot better here through Hermitage, Donaldson on 40 going westbound where we had that earlier wreck and even that earlier car fire at Fessler's. Traffic's cleared out through there right now. 5600 block of Clarksville Pike and Jolton. There's been a wreck involving injuries. The fire department's been dispatched to that location. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike. It's so worth that short drive. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on-time traffic.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically here. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Joey Logano punches his ticket to the Championship 4 race at Phoenix in a couple of weeks. But up next, this weekend, is Texas Motor Speedway in the round of 8. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Patchy drizzle, high 63. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 54. Showers tomorrow, high 68. Heavy rain tomorrow night, low 64. Thursday showers, high 74. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network for Nashville Sports Radio, on WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show is there to break it down.
First look at the markets today. Down, S&P down, slightly green NASDAQ. Early, real early. Yesterday, real bloody red. S&P got down close to 100 points. It was in the 90s. Settled around 66 in the red. Yeah, yesterday a real red day. It's all right, though. I don't look at that negatively. I just look at it. Hey, take advantage. All you got to do. Well, not all you got to do, but if you can identify the flow, just go with it. Doesn't matter which way it is. It doesn't matter. Does not. Just go with it. If you can master that part of it, then you're doing well. And now, like I said, it's not real easy. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech on Saturday at Bobby Dodd, at Grant Field. And then it's the Clemson game the following Saturday for the Fighting Irish. Circle that. There's another game. Big one. Circle it. Let's see if it lives up to expectations. Clemson's better. Notre Dame just crushed a Pitt team that was supposed to be a problem. And I thought that game could be a problem. I did. It wasn't. It was a dominating Fighting Irish performance. Probably their best game of the year. You could say, well, but Bill Pitt's not all that good. What does that say? Good point. I'm not sure how to measure that up. I just know that when you go in there and you're at the, the confluence of the Allegheny and Monongahela Rivers. Like, next time, remind me, I think I've asked Bob this before in the past, Aliquippa Bob. How close is he to the confluence of the Allegheny and Monongahela River? That's what they always say up there, right? When you go there, to that spot, I'm not going to say that again, and you win convincingly, it's still good. It's still good. So I was impressed. We got to play a lot of young guys. Like I said, Michael Mayer is playing like an All-American right now, I think, as a true freshman. His game's not rounded yet, but in the receiving category of the tight end position, he's fantastic. He already is a big threat for them. And I would say from here on, he's going to be an even bigger threat. 6'5", about 250, can run, athletic, he's physical, he's got the hands. He's the prototypical, if you draw it up on the board, tight end. Now, again, the best guy is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is about to get paid a lot of money. But yeah, Michael Mayer. And Kevin was telling me, Kevin will be back with us on Friday, that Alabama worked him, they tried, they couldn't get in on him. His sister went there, but the family football-wise, he said, was all Notre Dame. They couldn't really get much done. That don't happen to Alabama often, does it? Alabama gets a lot of what they want. They just got the five-star corner committed, which was expected the other day. So, yeah, everything rolling on nicely for them, for the Tide. Tomorrow, guesting is as follows. We have Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, bottom of that first hour. Also, add to the list, Blake Ruffino. He joins us on Wednesdays, down from the boot. And Josh Newberg from 24/7 Sports, recruiting the Florida State site. The podcast, which is called the Big Three Roll-Up. Josh ought to sponsor that. Yeah, Josh would be a good sponsor for the Big Three Roll-Up. Be perfect for them. This show today, sponsored by Josh and the Devil's Lettuce, the Big Three Roll-Up. Aliquippa Bob says, depends on the route, but about 20 miles as the way a crow flies. Allegheny and Monongahela meet to form the Ohio River. Aliquippa is on the Ohio River side. So there you go. So he's about 20 miles. If you draw a straight line, if you don't have to zigzag streets, right? That's where Bob would be. The confluence of the Allegheny and the Monongahela Rivers. I've been hearing that term for, what, the last 25, 30? Of course, Bob probably heard it the last 60 years living there. That's what they always say. So I'm just trying to be like the locals, y'all. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, Coach, I don't know Pitts. Well, I know a little bit. But they fire. Narduzzi actually got off to a pretty good start. And I don't know that Pitt's in the mood to be running off coaches right now. I saw a few people rumor-mongering about that, but I don't think there's much going on there. Not right now, unless the season just falls apart. Look, they aren't as good, certainly, without Kenny Pickett. Now, I'm not saying that would have mattered in that game and made 45-3 different, but that is the quarterback. Kenny Pickett is their quarterback. That yelling kid is not he's not ready for prime time, as you saw. No, he's not ready for that kind of moment. Ohio State, Penn State. That is the game. It's lost a little bit of its luster because Penn State just lost in a very controversial finish at IU. I thought the call was the right call, though. I thought the point of the ball crossed before the ball hit the pylon and before it was out of bounds. I did. And I don't think you could reverse that original call. It was his right hand extended. the QB for IU. Right hand extended, and I thought it was the right call at the time. I thought the Auburn situation was not the right call. We messed that up big time. Should have gone back and reviewed. Now Lane Kiffin said during his interview yesterday that he cannot talk about it publicly. He already got fined $25,000 for retweeting a negative officiating tweet, but he's basically inferred that the SEC called him and said, we screwed this up. We should have gone back through and reviewed it. Taking our time and reviewed it. He couldn't tell you, but he said, I wish I could tell you what the SEC said, which is insinuating, implying that that is the note he got from them. It was a phone call from the SEC office. Anyways, and they have said, look, we should have reviewed that. Yeah, we should have reviewed that. Anyways, at CrazyCharlie615 on Twitter. Follow him. College football, hockey, pro football, Major League Baseball. My Dodgers, game six tonight, up 3-2. Tampa Bay. Is Walker Buehler from Lexington, Henry Clay, played at Vandy, the best young pitcher in baseball right now? I don't watch enough of it to say. I've heard people say that. I hope that's true. He's not pitching tonight. Now, they've already used him, what, a couple times. Not pitching tonight. Hopefully, they don't need him. Yeah, game six is tonight at Billis King. I'm not sure I'll be watching, but somebody tell me what the score is from time to time tonight on Twitter. Lodgepole.